Welcome to this edited audio recording from St. James Episcopal Church in Leith. It is taken from our online service held on Sunday, January the 17th, 2021. For more information, please visit our website at stjamesleith.org.uk.
Can you hear me? I see a great encouraging number of thumbs up. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone, and a very, very warm welcome to you wherever it is that you're zooming in from. Welcome to our service. Let's have a moment of quiet, brief moment. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sadly, due to lockdown, our musicians are particularly scattered this morning, but their hard work and adaptability means we can nevertheless enjoy a rich feast of some much-loved music. Perhaps done in slightly different ways. Caroline and Simon are going to lead us here in this online place.
Well, this first one's actually a pre-record, but you will be hearing from Simon and Caroline a little later. This is one that was recorded some months ago. I think it's mainly featuring Margaret and I, possibly a bit of Steve Butler as well. But it's a well-kent St. James favourite, and it fits so nicely with our theme this morning of belonging. So please do sing along at home if you're able. Trusting in God's forgiveness, let us in silence confess our failings and acknowledge our part in the pain of the world. Before God, with these people of God, I confess to turning away from God
in the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. Before God and the people of God, we confess to turning away from God in the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
And may God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love.
Amen.
Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Gloria, 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 Gloria,
Gloria, Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Gloria,
Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Gospel is written in the Gospel of St. John, from the first chapter, beginning at the 43rd verse. Glory to Christ our Saviour. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe me because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Thank you, James. Shall we pray before we start? Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that your hand would reach out and touch each one of us here today. Speak to us the words that you want us to hear. And help us respond as you want us to respond. Amen. So sometimes we learn valuable lessons from unexpected sources, don't we? So I'd like to introduce you to, like you to meet Jesus. Oh, I'm getting the right way. There we are. There's Jesus and Peter. There's Peter. And this is the boat that Jesus stood in when he, sorry, it's called his back to front. The boat that Jesus stood in when he was speaking to the crowds from the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus and Peter only come out to play with their friends, the stag beetle. I'm going to get it right. The stag beetle, the dinosaur without a head, and the mug with a smiley face made of plastic. When the grandchildren come to stay and it's bath time, and I think Peter and Jesus have been bath toys since our first grandchild arrived 18 years ago. And it was also soon after their arrival that a small blonde thing in the bath stood them on the side of the bath and explained to me, "You see, Grandma, Jesus stands up, but Peter can't stand up unless he's leaning on Jesus." So I'm not very good with this, am I? Oh dear, I thought it would be easier than this. So there's Jesus. Okay, you can see Jesus. And there's Peter. Now Peter falls over, but there we go. Peter stands up only when he's been in the arms of Jesus. So these early passages from John tell us how Jesus began to gather his disciples around him. We experience the immediacy of it all, don't we? As Jesus gathers a group of friends to travel with him. Two of John the Baptist's disciples leave John and follow Jesus, and one of them, Andrew, goes off to find his brother, Peter. And then there's the passage we've just heard, when Jesus decides to go to Galilee and he calls Philip, and Philip goes off to find his friend Nathanael. So here we are, we've got five disciples, all from the same town. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus finds five people who already know one another and who live in the same town. And then we have, in just a few short words, such a clear picture of the relationship between Jesus and his friends. Of course, we can't know exactly what was in Nathanael's mind when he retorts in response to Philip's invitation, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So maybe there was a rivalry between Bethsaida and Nazareth, or maybe Nathanael was just quoting a well-known saying. But we might read it as Nathanael being flippant. Is he fed up and struggling? And does his offhand remark hide a superficial cynicism that has arisen because life is tough and because he feels there's no way out? And we've all done it. I've sometimes responded to the good intentions of a friend who is really trying to help me with a, "Oh, for goodness sake, you know perfectly well the advice you're offering me won't work." It reminds me of when I was in my early 20s and I arrived home to stay for a few days with my parents, and my mother went for a walk with me. And she told me how she'd found this new faith in Christianity. "Huh," I said, "I've tried that. It doesn't work. It's a huge waste of time." But fortunately, Philip doesn't give up on Nathanael. He doesn't let him wallow in his depression. He says, "Just come and look." Did Philip know that Nathanael needed to be lifted out of his melancholy and his cynicism and brought into a group of friends where he could belong? Actually, isn't that what we all need? For a friend to say, "Come and see. There's a crowd of us. We're all from the same town, so you won't feel out of place." And so Nathanael does follow Philip. And when Jesus sees him, he says these extraordinary words. "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asks. "Oh," says Jesus, and you can imagine the expression on his face and the twinkle in his eye. "I saw you back there. You were sitting under a tree sulking just before Philip spoke to you." And the Gospel of John tells us in a number of places that Jesus seems to know the inner life and actually the history of someone without having been told. Remember the Samaritan woman and how Jesus already knows her marital history. And as with the Samaritan woman, Jesus looks right into Nathanael's soul, way past his cynicism, to the very core of him. Because at the very core of him, Nathanael is a good man, a man of integrity, a man who is upright and full of honor. No wonder these men wanted to follow Jesus, to be in his company, to be with someone who knows your deepest inner life and is able to strip away everything to see what you're really made of. What a relief. I think that many of us, because of what life has thrown at us, struggle with doubts and cynical thoughts. And yet deep inside, if we saw Jesus out on our street today, we would rush out to meet him. Remember what we just heard in Psalm 139. The recognition that we are made individually known by God, fearfully and wonderfully made. And that what the Lord sees about each of us is the truth. Jesus looks at the heart and sees what is really there. Going back to Nathanael, when he responds to Jesus with, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel," is he, I wonder, trying to say the right words to make sure he's accepted? Did he feel guilty, a little bit guilty, that he'd been cynical? And now he really wants to show that he's going to be part of this band, these followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, in effect, "I'm really glad you want to belong, and it's great that you're ready to proclaim who I am, but honestly, there is going to be so much more. You don't need to say the right things or sign on the dotted line to prove you're in my gang. Just wait and see. You're going to see so much that's going to blow your mind." We can't tell from the English translation that although it looks to us as if Jesus is only speaking to Nathanael, "You shall see greater things," he's actually using the plural to all who are listening. And that is actually to all of us here today. All of us will see heaven open. The message of hope is for all of us. And we can, with faith and confidence, bring others to experience that hope too. So I think there are two things that you and I can take away from this passage. The first is that sometimes we all need to have a friend who will lift us out of our cynicism and say to us, "Come and see." And maybe you and I need to be that friend for someone who is struggling and desperately needs to belong. So here's a suggestion. When you get the link for the service on Sunday, the service when it comes in on Saturday for the Sunday service, into your email box, maybe there is someone you know who just might be interested if you forwarded it to them. And hey, this is Zoom, so they don't even need to show their face. They can even stay in bed. And they certainly don't need to say anything to prove that they're allowed to be with us. The second thing that perhaps we can take away is that we know that if you ask someone to come and look, as Andrew did with his brother and Philip with his friend, they can come with complete confidence because they won't be judged for their cynicism or for anything that causes them to doubt or ask questions. Every one of us is known in the deepest place of our soul, and Jesus welcomes us in. "Come and join us," he says. "Come, even if you're struggling to stand at the moment. Come and lean on me, and I will never let you fall." Amen.
So as we join together in prayer, I just invite you to look occasionally at the screen and see those words, "Jesus calls us to join with him." And I'll end up each prayer with those words and ask you to respond just by yourself quietly with a prayer of your own, saying, "Jesus, show me what I can do." So we come together into the presence of our Lord. Let's quieten our hearts and minds and put aside our concerns and distractions and open ourselves to listen for God's voice. Almighty God, you speak to us in many ways. Help us to hear your voice and know that it is you. Speak to us in the silence, through Scripture and by your Spirit. Speak through others and through your creation. Speak through images, experiences, and music. and please speak in ways we can understand, and help us to listen. And may our lives reflect the wonder of your character, so those we meet day by day may also respond to your invitation to join you. Jesus calls us to join with him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
And we pray for all people longing for something deeper in their lives. May they hear and respond to your call. For Jesus calls us to join with him. And we pray that you will be close to all who are being pushed to the limit during this pandemic, at work or at home, for intensive care staff, for emergency services staff, for GPs, for shop assistants, for teachers, for parents, for young people, for all whose mental health is near breaking point. Speak to us of what our church can do to practically help them. Jesus calls us to join with him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
And we pray for those who are not well today. Barbara recovering from COVID-19 and Kirsty in a high dependency ward in hospital. And perhaps you might want to bring someone to mind that you know who is not well. Jesus calls us to join him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
And we pray that you will be close to those whose businesses are closed, whose shops are locked up, whose rooms have no guest, for each individual whose money is running out, for those without hope, feeling despair. Speak to us of what our church can do practically to help them. Jesus calls us to join him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
And we pray for people around the world at the mercy of extreme weather conditions. Speak to us of what our church can practically do and what each of us can do as we pray for wisdom and determination for all those tackling climate change. Jesus calls us to join him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
And dear Lord, we pray for our own government and governments around the world, especially where elections are contested as unfair, such as in Uganda and the USA, where decisions of those leaders affect millions of people. We pray that you will raise up leaders who have real integrity, who will bring justice and peace, who will bring an end to violence and hate. Jesus calls us to join him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
So we thank you, Lord, that we are privileged to have heard your call to join with you. For those times when we have sensed your presence, heard your voice, and seen new insights. Teach us how to make space in our lives, how to hear you, how to recognize your presence with us, and teach us to recognize your voice each day, and to see you in our lives and encounters. And help us to give other people time and space so that they may hear you too. Jesus calls us to join with him.
Jesus, show me what I can do.
So we ask you to accept these prayers for our world, and for our friends, and for people that we know and meet each day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so very much, Judith and Colin, for those fine, important words, for leading us in that way. Now let's reach out to one another through this Zoom medium and share the peace, because we meet in Christ's name. Lord Jesus Christ, gathered in your name, we bind ourselves to you and to each other in the tasting of food and drink, symbols of nourishment and sharing. As we break bread, as you did with your friends, help us to recognize you in all people, places, and situations. Amen.
Offering song this morning, We Rejoice to Be God's Chosen. I thought I'd just read you a little statement about the song before we sing it. This is from the author, John Bell. At first, the sentiment of this text may seem presumptuous and even arrogant, until we accept that what we delight and boast in is not our own goodness, but the unnerving grace of God in choosing us. To be God's chosen, not through virtue, work or skill, but because God's love is generous, unconformed to human will. And because God's love is restless, like the surging of the sea, we are pulled by heaven's dynamic to become, not just to be. We rejoice to be God's chosen, to be gathered to God's side, not to build a pious ghetto or be steeped in selfish pride, but to celebrate the goodness of the one who sets us free from the smallness of our vision, to become, not just to be. We rejoice to be God's chosen, to align with heaven's intent, to await where we are summoned and accept where we are sent. We rejoice to be God's chosen, and amidst all that we see, anticipate with wonder that the best is yet to be. To anticipate with wonder that the best is yet to be.
So much, Suzanne. And now together for our thanksgiving, give thanks to our gracious God. On our heads and on our houses, in our coming and going, in our life and believing, at our end and new beginning.
Arms of God,
welcome us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.